Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan, and I am very grateful to be with you. Yes, on this August 15th day, 2021, and we're going to look at one of the most difficult aspects of human nature, the pride that all of us want to be kind of exalted in, as it were, for the sake of being proud and looking at our life from the point of view of accomplishment and how great thou art. That's what I call it, the how great thou art ideal. And a lot of people do everything they do for the sake of pride. I looked up the word pride for you. A feeling or deep pleasure or satisfaction derived from one's own achievements, the achievements of those with whom one is closely associated with, or qualities or forms of process that are widely admired. Then one goes a little further down here, and this is the one that really gets me, the consciousness of one's own dignity. The quality of having an excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. Well, there it all is. Pride is really a huge issue in human beings. We don't know really how to have any kind of compassion for the human self, so we do this pride thing. Oh, I did this. Oh, I've accomplished that. And I hear people use this idea of pride, not as consciousness. That word is really something that is thrown around a lot. Consciousness, if I'm in consciousness, it would be the direct opposite of what it means to have consciousness. If I'm in pride, I'm not in consciousness. I'm in my ego. I'm using my hubris as a way to live my life. And consciousness has nothing at all to do with pride. Nothing. And as far as dignity is concerned, what is dignity when you really come to think about it? What are we talking about here? It is defined as the state or quality of being worthy or honored or respected. But that kind of situation, that kind of respect, does not come with pride. It comes with humility, kindness, compassion. So all of this is just the assumption that the pedestrian mentality, whoever it is, assigns to words. And it's a tough call, because how are you going to understand what it means to have any kind of humility when pride is attached to it? And in the spiritual effort, in the spiritual effort to awaken, pride is not a part of it. And consciousness is derived out of humility and the practice of no mind, a mind not pitting itself against another mind, my own thoughts even. It is without conflict, a mind without conflict. And with consciousness, that's exactly what it is. You flow in the consciousness of not thought, but the energetics that are beyond thought. The gap, the pause, the space between thoughts. This is where everything lies. Everything that is meaningful. There is a whole world there. And it's a direct experience that one has to have. There's a whole world there of love, of not thoughts, but impressions, insights, things that the mind can't even compute in its everyday form in the pedestrian mentality that we all possess. So it goes much deeper, much, much deeper. And I don't know. I think it's sad sometimes that dictionaries use words, Webster's and Wikipedia and all of them, and they don't really know what they're talking about in that regard. They just throw it out there. It seems, well, we'll just use the word consciousness because that's what it isn't. It's more than that. Let's go to the questions. I have three interesting ones. First one comes from Tara. She does not tell me where she lives. What does it mean that pride goeth before a fall? In the old days, people would do things, say things that they weren't too quote-unquote proud of. The whole idea is a social one, that if you had no pride, you'd say and do things that you wouldn't be proud of later. In other words, that wouldn't be a bragging rights later on. The pride thing, please remember, is having, and this is how I'm using it, the quality of having an excessively high opinion of oneself or one's importance. So the pride thing is you wouldn't want people to think of you in that way. And if you did that act, whatever it might be, you would be throwing away the pride you might have of popular opinion. And this is really important because pride depends upon the opinions of other people. It depends upon the whole idea of other people's ideas of you and me, and that when we do something that is absolutely, let's say, guaranteed to give us pride, then we can, so to speak, hold our head up high in society. And that's basically all it's about. It's the hubris. It's the ego. And it's the emperor of all malice that lives within us all, that is our emotional heart, just loves that kind of thing. So, you know, this whole idea was a behavior modification thing in the early years. I'd say when I was born in the 50s, it would have been used then as you don't want to do things that wouldn't gain you pride. You wouldn't want to do things that would make other people think that you were lesser than, that kind of thing. The fall is not the fall of, let's say, spiritual awakening, not being able to achieve meditation. It's the opinions of other people. I want to say something here because, you know, I was raised with this idea that, you know, pride goeth before a fall, and I never bought that. I never really understood that. It's not that we do things for the sake of pride, the sake of other people's opinions or gaining their adoration. That's what most people think of as being proud, something that can never be taken away from the self of you and tells other people that you are a wonderful person and how great thou art, kind of thing. It has nothing at all to do with any of that. You know, true accomplishment is not something you're proud of. It's something that you're humbled by. A true accomplishment has nothing at all to do with other people's adoration for your accomplishment. It has to do with something we've done that is filled with the potential of great love for other people. And the real accomplishment is not to let it go to our head. I know many people who are deeply talented. I mean, deeply, deeply talented. And they are very proud of their talent, and they go for it. They want adoration. They want people to know about it. But what they're doing is tainting their talent. And it gets to a certain point where you look at it and you hear what they're saying about how great they are, and you kind of see that the luster of what they've done has been taken away. There is nothing more diminishing than my hubris, my ego. So when you're looking at pride goeth before a fall, you're looking at what it is within us that wants adoration and wants to think that it's better than you or someone else. So that fall is, you know, that idea of living in a lifetime where we do everything to gain adoration. And if adoration is important to you, then the pride would go before the fall. But I say the fall, well, it's the resurrection of a life. And I don't go there. Humility. People will come to me and they will say, how come I can't meditate? How come it's so difficult? The difficulty lies in the seeking of adoration, your own adoration as well as other people. And if you want adoration in your life, you're not going to be able to meditate. It's not going to happen, because real meditation is about humility. And most people can't do humility. They just can't do it. To be humble, not to want more than what is, to feel the depth and the clarity of a mind that is not in conflict requires humility, and at times even humiliation. So what can I say? If you want adoration and you want to abuse yourself in the sense of not ever being able to find inner peace, no matter how your accomplishments run, then pride is your way. I got to move on. I'm running out of time here. Next one, and forgive me, Tara, for your the abruptness of my answer here. I just got to move on. Please forgive me. Namaste. I need my pride, says Lane from Kentucky. I'm not willing to give it up, and I really don't know why. Do I have to in a spiritual practice as you teach, Lane? I'm not a have-to guy, okay? If you want to awaken, if your goal is truly to awaken, to see and recognize the bigger picture of your life, and to have the authenticity of that, to really recognize the beauty, the essence of what it is to remain silent, quiet, and feel the totality of your life, to really gain in consciousness, you're going to have to give up the whole idea of pride and how great thou art, the seeking of it. People will say, I have to swallow my pride. You've heard that. Well, I don't think it's about swallowing it. It's about letting it go. It is about recognizing how self-destructive it is. I have sat with students for 50 years now, and I can tell you, a lot of their challenges have to do with their pride, with their vanity. And they do things to gain recognition. They do things to get what they want and then to be proud of it and say, I did it. Swallowing one's pride would look terrible to the person who is seeking humility for the sake of exalting oneself. It was Jesus who said, he who exalts himself shall be abased, and he who abases himself shall be exalted. He even talked about this idea of pride. What does that mean? If I want to exalt myself, I will lose the meaning of my life. I will lose those little nuances and blessings that are the significance of my life. If I humble myself rather than exalt myself, I come into a place where I'm privy to insight. I'm privy to love. I'm privy to the goodness of the heart. I am privy to compassion and authentic consciousness. I'm not fooling around with what other people think. I mean, you look at this world and you see how many people have really done some huge damage to society and people in general and are proud of it. So you've got to ask yourself, how far do you want to go with your life? Yes, it is absolutely necessary to relinquish pride for the sake of the awakening of the heart, the authentic heart. And if that isn't enough for you to give back to life in that authentic heart, then you have a long, long road to haul. A long road to haul. And no one could ever talk you out of or down from seeking pride. I hope that helps you, Lane. Yes, it has to be relinquished. And the forgiveness has to be established in a person as the way of their life. Thank you, Lane, for your question. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. What is beyond pride? People take advantage of others relentlessly, and I need pride to protect myself. And this comes from Kay in Los Angeles, who often emails me with questions. Thank you, Kay. If you need protection, and if you are trying to protect the ego, then you're already behind the eight ball here. The ego is not something you protect. The ego is something you examine, you watch. You see how it is conniving, how it is cunning, how it works inside of a person and maybe even yourself, as really self-awareness is about. And you start to look at it for what it is. The genetic disposition of your family. I have many, many people who came to try to study with me over the years and just couldn't do it. They just don't. And it was just so sad and painful to watch them try to fumble around the idea of their pride and fumble around the idea of sustaining their pride, enhancing their pride while in a authentic spiritual practice. It can't be done. You have to be quiet. You have to withdraw from all the things you normally would be doing in a normal life, the average life, as it were, that would be enhancing the ego. And a lot of people just, they can't do that. They won't do that because that's their pride and joy. And they live in that pride and joy for the sake of accelerating and advancing their ego to such a point where they elevate it to the point of thinking that they are as good as others or even better. And this competition of pitting myself against another person is immature and it's self-defeating. And in the end, it just leaves me right where I began my life in the basic opinion and stupidity of my mind. And our minds, when they are not guided by love, when they are not in the flow of consciousness, real consciousness, makes us do and say things that are pretty stupid. And we do it. I've done it. Everybody's done it to some degree. And you got to look at it and think, what am I doing? Well, I'm defending my pride. I'm defending it. I am saying to you, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And you're not as good as me. And you're an imbecile and yada, da, yada, da. And we go into that. And that pride really becomes a stickler point for living. And that's how we live our life, in that kind of arrogance, thinking that we've accomplished something. The only real accomplishment in life, and listen to me on this, is love. It is the only accomplishment there is, and to negate it or to ignore that is a terrible thing that most of us do without even knowing we're doing it. I'm out of here. That went fast for me. Thank you, Kay, for your question and for listening, and please forgive me. Namaste. Well, that's another weekend done. I hope I was able to help you in some way. If you have a question, it's greg@aspire.org. greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.